Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is
going to come.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Tune into the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways again on tonight, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that you had a beautiful day. I hope and pray that all is well in your family circle and all continually to be well with you and yours. I just thank you so kindly for allowing me into your living room space. I thank you for allowing me into your work area. And I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast now. I want to take this opportunity right now and to send condolences out to those of you that has lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, last 24 hours, 8 hours ago, seconds ago. And we just want to keep you encouraged and let you know that you're not alone in your hour of bereavement, in your moments of despair. God has men and women all around the world that's praying day and night for you and with you. And so we just want you to stay encouraged, and may God lift, hallelujah, your spirit and bring about restoration unto your very soul. All right, we're going to now go into our intro prayer. We fail not to come across these airwaves, this podium, and we will be references our Lord, our Savior, our King, our soon coming King, our soon coming Messiah. And his name is Jesus. I want to present him to some and introduce to others. He is a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem. And Jesus walked this earth over 2,000 light years ago. And I tell you, it's just a blessing to be able to be in the land of the living, to know that there was such a creator that loved you and I so that he was willing to die, and he did die. But yet on that third day, he rose again. He's sitting right now up in heaven on the right-hand side of his Father. And so we're going to reference him tonight in every opportunity that presents itself. We want to always acknowledge God. For God's word tell us, acknowledge him in all that you do. Acknowledge God. And so I'm asking those of you that are in my digital listening audience on tonight to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your love unmeasured. I want to thank you, God, for allowing me to be able to unite from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. We know that this is not our eternal home, God. We know that you have lying in wait a home, a mansion that's not built by mortal man, but you are the creator. You are the craftsman, God. But until you crack those clouds one of these historical days, God, we will continue to mount up, God. Hallelujah. And in unite, hallelujah, in the holy matrimony of God. Lord, and I just ask you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you to grace me, Father God, your servant, with words of wisdom, words of encouragement to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls. Father God, we won't take your glory, we won't take your praise, but we will give you all the honor that are due unto thee, God. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we will let the temple say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I just thank those of you that was able to tune in tonight. I know that it's a short notice, but I have just been having one dilemma after the next. But I know that God is able, you know. We just know that we got to keep on toiling. Everything is not going to be easy. And so, you know, we just have to get used to, you know, being able to have the mindset of Job, you know. We got to be like Job. And we got to have the patience of Job. That's what I'm speaking about. Having that patience. You know, when it don't work out today, then try it again tomorrow. If it don't work out tomorrow, then try it again the next day. And you'll keep on going because God see you. And everything that you do, God see you. And he knows that, you know, when we're having complications and difficulties, God know that too. But God will reward you and I, you know, just for an effort, putting forth an effort and not just giving up at the drop of a hat and throwing in the towel and say, hey, you know, I've tried this thing two or three times, just forget it. We can't do that because, you know, God has been too good to each and every one of us. You know, we think about if God had that mindset when he went to Calvary Cross and said, hey, you know, I don't want to subdue all of this cruelty and this harsh treatment that they presented unto God. You know, they hung God high and they spread them wide. And then they just whipped him with 39 stripes or lashes, whatever your terminology is, on his backside. Then they put a crown of thorns upon his head. If that wasn't enough, then they put a nail on each one of his hands on his right side and on his left side on his hands. And then they taken his feet and they crossed them together, one upon the other. And then began to just hammer you couldn't imagine the nail. I mean, it's just unexplainable, really. I mean, you know, one can get twisted tongue, tied it, even trying to express the horrific ordeal that Jesus Christ suffered. But God didn't give up on us is the main focus point that I'm trying to make. God did not give up on you and I. And so we cannot give up on God. And all we got to do is just keep on pressing on. God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, but I will be with you till the end of the earth. Hallelujah. So with that being said, we know that we are never alone. We might be physically alone, but we are not spiritually alone. Jesus is with us every step of our journey, every step of our heartache, every step of our sonormi, God is with us. So I just want to encourage you on tonight. Just stay encouraged. Stay on the battle. Stay in the race. And don't give up and don't give in. Keep your hand held to the plow. and look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of yours and mine and our faith here tonight. So I just want you to come, bring all your digital gadgets, because we are in need of them. And, you know, now a lot of us is not carrying our Bible, you know, our, I guess you would call it the paperback Bible right now, some of us, and some of us still are. But, you know, now that we're in the tech world, you know, we can just key in the scripture and it will come up. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. I don't find anything wrong with it. And so as long as God is not complaining, I'm not going to say anything either, you know. But anyway, like I first stated, just bring all your digital devices, because you can read along. And then if you, you know, decided that you want to just write the scripture reading down and just read it at your own leisure, then that's good as well. So like I said, you know, just bring all your digital devices aboard. And so you, you know, if you're sipping on anything, your latte or your OJ or whatever, then, you know, just make yourself comfortable. And I will be with you 1 hour. And I am now 18 minutes and 19 seconds into this program right now. I mean, that time is just running on off the wall. I tell you, you can't sit still 1 minute, because that time will get away, I tell you. But all in the same token, I just thank God for allowing me to be able to come across these airways and skyways. Hallelujah. Into your home, into your workplace, wherever you might be, wherever Block Talk Radio finds you in the old ship of Zion. And your host is Overseer Janice Ward. And so right now, without any further ado, I'm going to take you on into a live program that's already in progression. And our tonight's sermon is, Your Destination Hangs in Balance. I want to say that one more time. Your destination hangs in balance. And we're going to take our first key scripture, and it reads this. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who ye will serve. That scripture reading is coming out of law. Hallelujah. I think that's Joshua 24 and 15. I didn't get to write that down. But anyway, God tell us to choose ye this day who you're going to serve. I tell you, I just want to bring out some pointers here. And some of you might have some questions on your mind that you need answers to. And I'm going to try to cover some of the questions that you might have. And you might ask, how can I know God in a meaningful way? You might even ask, what must I do to guarantee eternal life with my Maker? Is there some way that I can be certain that I will go to heaven? And then ask, will you explain in simple, non-technical terms what it means to be born? You might say, I'm guilty because I haven't lived a clean life. How can the Lord forgive me? I've been a fairly religious person, but I lack a deep and abiding peace with God. Why, you might ask, what does the Bible say about life after death? You might ask, did Jesus actually die for me? What exactly is the gospel? Now, those are some of the questions that might ponder your mind. But whether or not these questions are verbalized, they are the ones that most people think about, especially when death seems near. They are good questions that deserve an answer. There are also searching questions that have to do with an issue of utmost importance. We know that receiving eternal life from God, forgiveness forever, we know that this is not something that calls for a lot of opinions or theological double talk. We know that the insight must come from the Bible, and it needs to be clear, and it needs to be where everybody can understand. Hallelujah. And it also needs to make sense. Hallelujah. We know that the scripture is simple, it's sensible, and the answer for those questions that I just mentioned. You might wonder about the single most significant subject in all of your life. And that, my sister and my brother, in all of your life, is salvation. Now we go back to our theme tonight, and it says, your destination hangs in balance. So now we have salvation, and it is the utmost, the most significant thing that you and I, it's a precious commodity that it tells, it will set the stage. I'll say it like that. It will set the stage for where yours and mine's and our destination will end. And I mean end up. So it's very important that each and every one of us have a plan. You know, just like, you know, when you have a fire, you have to have a plan, you know. And even when you are, if you're a foster parent, you have to have a plan. And you have to have that plan, you have to have it implemented. And then you also have to practice it. And you go into that rhythm of what do we do, you know, in case of a fire? Do we have a number of exits that we need? Do we have windows that we can climb out of? And maybe, you know, somebody would call the fireman, and then he would extend this ladder so you would have a way to escape. Well, that's the same way it is with salvation. We need to have an escape plan, because we know, hallelujah, that after this life, people said, oh, you know, when I'm dead, honey, I'm done. But you know what? I want to make something perfectly clear. Those that's going on right now is in demise. They're dead right now. But I want to set the record straight. The person might be dead, but they're a long way from being done. So don't let anybody tell you that when you die, you're going to be dead, and that's the end of the story. Because I beg to differ, because one thing about it, those that are in the grave right now are going to be called to attention. God is going to command them to rise from their sleeping chambers, and they are to rise under his command and direction. And not only that, but they will stand before the judgment seat of God. Hallelujah. Now we know that there are several strange things that are true about being lost, because we're talking about the destination. And if you don't know what your destination plan is, and you don't have it planned out, you know, like a fire escape, then the Bible says that you and I, we are lost. So we know that one thing is that we can think we really aren't lost. See, a lot of people, you know, they say, hey, I'm not lost, you know, I know my way. you know, but they're thinking about directions. But we're not talking about that kind of loss. We're talking about spiritually loss. We're not talking about physically loss, but we're talking on a spiritual note of being lost. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, and then, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm not lost. But in reality, they are lost. And we know that sincerity is no guarantee that we're on the right road. We know that we don't have to be alone to be lost. You and I, we can be surrounded by a lot of folks, even a large group of nice people, and be totally off track. And running faster doesn't help either. We know, like, sincerity is like a friend to the bewildered. And then we can trust our feelings, or we can trust our hunches to solve our dilemmas. But we need help from something or someone outside of yours and mine and ourself. You might say, do we need a map? Do we need to call on a person who knows the way? Whatever or whoever, we must have an accurate assistant. And, you know, I was trying to bring around yesterday about, you know, when you go into a strange country, you know, and maybe you don't speak the same lingo. Well, you have to have an interpreter to go along and be able to interpret what the people that you're visiting are saying, and then someone to be interpret what you are saying back to them. And so you don't know your way around that place. So then you need, you know, a tour guide to take you around all the places that you're wanting to see. So that means that, hey, before you got a guide, you were lost. So if that guide happened to lose you along the way, then you will be lost without a guide. So that's the same thing that we're talking about. We're talking about that your soul salvation is hanging in the balance. We know that it is interesting to note that one of the terms the Bible uses to describe people who don't know God in a personal and meaningful manner is lost. That doesn't necessarily mean that they are immoral or lawless or bad neighbors, financial failures, emotionally unstable, irresponsible, even unfriendly folks, but just lost. Hallelujah. And you and I, we've already observed that they may be sincere, involved, and in touch with many people, moving rapidly and successfully through life. They may even feel good about themselves, confident, secure, enthusiastic, yet still lost. Physically active and healthy, yet spiritually off track. Sincerity diluted. Unconsciously moving through life and out of touch with the one who made them. Disconnected from the living God. So if we are disconnected from the living God, we are lost. The Bible says we are like a sheep that are gone astray. But we can take a closer look at this statement. We can go into the law of Proverbs, and that's 14 and 12. And it reads this. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I'm going to read that again. It says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Proverbs 14 and 12. Hallelujah. Now, you just imagine a person going through life. It may seem right. It might have the appearance of being okay. It might also have the approval and admiration of others rather than influence individuals. But its end result is the ultimate dead end street. And I want to just share a story that I read about, and it was about, it says, the Lady Be Good was a bomber whose crew was a well-seasoned flight team, a group of intelligent combat ready airmen. Hallelujah. And so the story says they were successful bombing. They went on a successful bombing mission, and they was returning to come back home. But that particular night, was turning back home rather late. And in front of the pilot and the co-pilot was a panel of instruments and a radar equipment that they had to rely on to reach their final destination. And so they said that they had the flight, they had flew that flight many times before, so they knew how long it would take them to return to their destination. But this flight, I was told, was different, and they was unaware of a strong tailwind that pushed the bomber much more rapidly through the night air than it usually would, and said that the men in the cockpit looked in amazement at the instruments that they correctly signaled that it was time to land. But they refused to believe those accurate dials and gauges. Confident that they were still miles away from home, they kept on flying, hoping and looking intensely for the familiar lights below. And the story says that their fuel supply had finally depleted, and the big olive grab bomber never made it back. They said that the plane soon was found in a desert many miles and many days later. It says that the crew had all perished, having overshot the field by a great distance, because they followed the prompting of their own feelings. And you know, sometime in this life, we do that. Instead of us going by the leading of God, we go by our own feelings, you know. God tell us to go right, we go left. Well, Lord, you know, I don't want to go right. I want to go left, you know. And you go left. God tell you to go back and apologize to that person. And you say, well, God, you know, let them apologize first. But see, we have to learn to be obedient to God, because God is the one that made us. He is the ruler over our soul. He is the one that made us and not we ourselves. So the Bible says that which seems right, but it proved to be wrong, and it cost them their life. They was wrong, dead wrong. And we are told that, you know, that what happened to them in that particular time and era is happening in our today's world as well, right here on planet Earth every day. We know that there are some good, sincere, well-meaningful, intelligent traveling on a collision course with death, yet totally unaware of their destiny. This is why we read that Jesus' great son came to seek and to save that which was lost. We can go into the law of Luke 19 and 10. It says it's designed to help those who are lost find their right way home. Hallelujah. We think of the Bible as the absolute reliable instrument panel designed to get people, you and I, and to keep people on the right track. One thing about it, we won't get confused if we believe its signals and response to its direction. Even though we may not feel in agreement at times, we know that in this book we call the Bible, we find a bold yet true statement. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The Bible says that he who has the Son has the life. He who do not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you might know that you have eternal life. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 John 5 and 11 through 13. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to read this scripture again, and I'm going to read it a little slow. And it says that God has not given you and I and us. He has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He didn't have but one son. He didn't have two or three sons. He didn't have two or three daughters, but he had only one son. And the Bible says that he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you might know that you have eternal life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we're going to read about salvation, because this is what I mean when I mean that your destination hangs in balance. You have to have a plan that after this life, where you want to end up. And we have two destinations. We can have Hades, which is hell, and we can have heaven. It is your choice to choose. Because, see, God is a gentleman, and God is not going to break down the door of our heart. God is going to knock at the door of your heart like a gentleman. God is not an unwanted guest, but he will be only an invited guest. He's not going to break into your house. He's not going to come in through the window. Hallelujah. God say, I come at the door and knock. If anyone open up and let me in, and I will sup with him and he with me. God will sit there at the dinner table with you. Hallelujah. As his son, as his daughters. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so you have to have a plan. On when you leave this life, where do you want to go? Just like you have planned, you plan your life out. Say, well, this is what I want to have on. You know, this is what I want to wear. I want to have this jewelry on. I want this color coffin. You know, I want to be buried over here. I want to be cremated. See, you are right there. You are planning out what you want to happen at the time of your demise. And so that's the same thing that I'm talking about when I'm talking about your destination hangs in balance. Because unless you got a plan, then you are doomed for a dead-end road. You are doomed. And so we know that the Bible is explanatory. It doesn't take a person with a PhD in English literature to observe that God is offering a gift. The gift is eternal life. And it's directly connected to his Son. Hallelujah. Now we know that you being a member of a church do not make you a slave. Do not make you be free from sin. Because before we can get cleansed from sin, there are steps that we take. See, you have to first acknowledge to God who you are. And you tell God, God, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. You know, and I'm tired of this life that I'm leading. And I want you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. And forgive me of all the sins that I have committed. And when you do that, then God know that you are wanting to change your lifestyle for the better. So instead of being a liability for the devil, because when we are in sin, that's what we're doing. We're being a liability for satanic forces. And then we can be an asset for God. See, you be a liability when you're living for the devil, because the devil, M.O., is to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said that I come that you might have life. That means life after this life. So he said, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So, you know, I know that this is not, you know, this is not a popular sermon, but I'm not trying to make it popular. I am trying to win souls for the kingdom of God. That's my motive. So, you know, I'm not trying to be popular on a sermon. I am here to preach God's word as he has instrumented me to do. So that's what I'm doing. And so, like I said, that God wants you to have life after this life. He don't want you to which you're not going to die, because if you're not already in the grave, and you can't be in the grave if you're listening to what I'm saying, but if you know anybody that's already gone on, they're sleeping right now. And so, sleeping right now. But on that great judgment day, as I first stated, God is going to call them from the grave. And God make it perfectly clear who's going to rise first. God says that those that are in Christ is going to rise first. Those are his faithful children, his faithful disciples. They are the one that's going to rise first. And so it would behoove you to know, just like you made out your funeral arrangements, you need to make out your destination, your plans on what you're going to do after that you're gone on from this earth, what you want to do after to the next life, because there is a next life. So don't let nobody fool you into telling you that, you know, this is the only life that you have, because it's not. Even if you don't serve God, you have a life of hell and damnation. A life of torment, the Bible says, tormented day and night, forever and ever, in the bottomless pit. Its destination, so the destination to hell, you know what the destination to hell is? It's called the bottomless pit. So that's the end of your life right there. But you will not be dead, you will not be asleep. You will be alive, burnt alive, but not burn up, but continually burning night and day. Now, this is what the word of God is saying, night and day. And you know when you are in front of your range and you're cooking, you know, and maybe you are frying something that calls for you to add oil. And then after a while, when that kettle get to a certain Fahrenheit, then that grease get mighty hot and it go to bubbling. And sometimes it will go to popping and bubbling outside of the dimension that it's in. And if you stand in there, then it can pop on you and burn you. And you know that don't feel good at all. You know, each time that you get burned by oil, it might be even hot water, you go, you know, to your first aid cabinet and you get your armaments and you put that on, you know, trying to cool that burning sensation. But see, the burning that we're getting over this range is nothing compared to the fire that's in that bottomless pit. Because God said that the bottomless pit is with fire and brimstone. And now we have some witnesses that has went to hell. So we do have some witnesses. God is not just saying this to scare anybody, to make your hair stand on its end. That is not what God is trying to do. Because God has given each and every one of us a choice. He says, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You cannot serve me and Satan too. You cannot straddle a fence. So you have to choose who you're going to serve. And one thing about it, the devil don't have anything after this life to offer you. He don't have anything to offer you now but a whole lot of make-believe stuff, you know. He don't have anything. And so he don't care about you having anything, you know. Because everything that he had, he lost. It was up in heaven where he was. And so after he got wicked and didn't want to subdue to God's ways and to his commands, you know, and he thought he was all that in a bag of chips. You know, he didn't want to be under God's commandment. He wanted a reversal, you know. You know, now, God, I tell you what to do. You don't tell me what to do. That's what Lucifer would say. And then God just, you know, just kicked him slap on up out of heaven. So he's dying here. He don't have much space even to walk in. The Bible says that he walked to and fro. So if you know it's to and fro, that's not very far. You think of a hospital corridors, a man that's having a new baby. You know, and the wife hadn't had the baby yet, but she's in labor right now, so the baby can be born at any time. So he's pacing the floor. So if he's pacing the floor, he's not going down the hall, down the stairs, you know, and on an elevator. He's walking back down the hallway. He's turning around and coming back. Come back, turn around, and go back down again. So that is, it's just in, it's like you're going in a circle. So the devil is going in a circle because God have not given him much room in which to move around in. So he has to do with what he had. He has to make do with what he got. And so he's mad. So he don't care anything about you. He don't care anything about you. You say, well, Lord, you might have asked God, God, you know, I'm tired of catching this bus. I need me a car. The devil said, oh, you don't need no car. Keep on walking. You don't even need a bus. Walk on. The devil is just the opposite. He's everything wicked. Every single thing wicked. It's not a good sale in the devil nowhere. Nowhere. I mean nowhere. His M.O. is to steal, kill, and to destroy. You might say, oh, destroy what, Overseer Ward? Destroy your life. Destroy your family life, your kids' life, your husband's life, your family life, your happy life, so you see. You know, he feel like, hey, you know, he tell you, you don't need God, you got me. You don't need God, you got me, you know. I supply all your needs. And so we know how he'll supply all your needs, by fictitiously, because he'll have you stealing, robbing from Paul to pay Peter, you know, and then finally once he gets you to stealing and doing whatever he wants you to do, he intends for you to keep that up until you get caught or killed. See, that's his M.O. because the Bible says that he comes stealing to destroy. So he's not going to stop at you know, leaving you alone. He might leave you alone for a second, but that's because he sees somebody else he want to go harass. When he get through harassing him, he's going to come right on back to you and tell, you know what I told you the other day? You know, now you need to get up on it, you know. You get up on your job. You know, I want you to go in there and break in that bank and get some money out. You know, you need some money. You know you need some money. You've been unemployed for a long time, you know, and you need some money. You're about to lose your job. And you're about to lose your car, you're about to lose your house, so you need some money to pay these people with. So the only way you can get the money is to break into the bank and steal their money. The devil said, oh, their money is FDIC, it's federal insured, so you don't have to worry about it. He ain't about to tell you about your life is on the line, because when you get caught, you're going to do a whole lot of time, and if you try to run, you know what that's going to wind up. So, see, the devil, his M.O. is to steal, kill, and destroy. So I don't care how you slice and dice it, the devil mean you no good. No earthly good. because that's far as he's going is right here to earth. He's going no further, but when this time comes, then God has something for him. And he's going to be right there in that bottomless pit, right there with his little baby kids, them little devilish imps of his. That's where he's going to be. So he don't care anything about you, so don't get it twisted, because the devil do not care anything about you. The devil didn't go to the cross to die for you. The devil didn't take 39 stripes across his back for you and I. And one thing about it, he couldn't have in the first place, because he didn't even make the grade. The person that I'll say the chosen spiritual deity had to be sinless. So even if our parents wanted to go and I stayed, they couldn't even go. They didn't even qualify. Our fathers didn't qualify. Our mothers didn't qualify. Because the Bible said that we were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. So Jesus was the only one that fit the description of a holy divinity. Cleanly, clean, and no spot or wrinkle, no speckles, no nothing. I mean, just sinless. S-I-N-L-E-S-S. Sinless. So that means that Jesus loved you and I more than you'll ever know, more than you can wrap your brains around. God love you. God do not want you lost. God wants you to come to him. God wants you, when things are not going right in your life, he wants you to turn to him. When that wayward husband is acting out and talking about leaving, and he's looking at Miss Jones' wife, Miss Jones' husband, brother, then God wants you to call on him. When the wife is looking at Mr. Jones, instead of staying in the marriage and keeping his eyes on you, God wants you to call on him. God don't want you to call on Tyrone. God wants you to call on him. God is the biggest and baddest thing walking. He don't only walk the earth. Don't you know he can walk on a cloud? He's so bad. Boy, they said Michael Jackson was bad. And Michael Jackson was bad in his own way. But I tell you what, we serve a God that's better than Michael Jackson. Because Michael Jackson ain't never walked on a cloud. Jesus walks on a cloud. He's just that bad. Jesus, hallelujah, is the best thing that ever happened to me. And God can be the best thing that ever happened to you as well. Talking to Jew joints and the titty bars, all that playing out. It's playing out. All it is now is death, hell, and the grave. You can't hardly go to the clubs these days. People get in the club and they go to fighting over a seat, over a chair, over the dance floor, over a drink, over a man, a woman. No place seems to be safe. But you can find safety in Jesus Christ. There is safety in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God can give you everything that you ever you need. God is a provider. Sickness come upon your body. God is a healer. God is a healer. He'll meet you in the operating room. He'll meet you in your bedroom. He'll meet you at the supermarket. He'll meet you at the laundromat. God will meet you wherever he need to meet you. God's got all power. He don't have a little bit of power. He don't have a micro dot of power. But God got all power. Hallelujah. In his hand. Woo, my God. You talking about a power surge. Jesus is a power surge. You know, I had to laugh today because a young friend of my son came by and he pulled up in the driveway, and as I was exiting, and so he had his window down, and he told me that he was out there, had some items for my son, and he had been sick. And so I told him, I said, you know, I said, you know, the weatherman said that it was going to rain, and it did rain, but at this time it had not really rained. It just missed a little bit. But I was telling him, I said, you know, I said, the weatherman said that it was going to rain. I said, but God said, yeah, it's going to rain, but not right now. It's going to rain on my watch. So, and he laughed. I mean, he really sniggled. And so, and I laughed as well, you know, and it just lets us know, you know, that we, sometime we can hit it right. You know, as a meteorologist, we can hit it right sometime. And then sometime God just has to let us know who's running the show. Who's zooming who and who's fooling who. Sometime God has to let you know that I made everything. I made you. So I made everything on this planet. And if I want it to rain, it'll rain. If I want it to snow, it'll snow. If I wanted the sun to come out, the sun will come out. If I want the clouds to come out and the sun at the same time, then God can call it. He said, even the winds and the waves obey him. Now, you know he bad. You know he bad when he can speak to the wind and the wave. He said, wind, settle down, wind. You got a high wind. You know, it's just going and tearing up stuff. Tearing up buildings and houses and taking cars and throwing them here and there. And then God will say, peace. And then the wind got to get somewhere and be still. Hallelujah. Because we know that the master's in charge. I call him the CNC. That means Christ in charge. And he lets you know. He'll let you know. He'll let you know that he's the head man when he feel like it. When he get good and ready, he'll let us know who's running the show. You know, so I tell you, that just lets you know that God has got all power in his hands, in his capability, in his wings. Hallelujah. In the Bible say he got healing in his wings. So it doesn't matter what your physician has told you. You hear me? It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. He'll let us know that he is in charge. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. My, 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 my. You know, it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing and an honor to know God and to have him living down inside of you. You know, that's such a beautiful thing. And, you know, I'll tell anybody, my sister, my brother, there is no greater lifestyle than to live the life of Christ. You know, you look at the beautiful mountains, the landscape, the Cascades, the beautiful homes and all the money and all the houses, all the cars, everything that God has made and has blessed us to take part of. Don't you know this is nothing compared to the life after this life? This don't even measure up to what God has laid up for you and I. This don't even measure up, don't even come close. Do you hear me? You think you living good now? Honey, just, woo, God just give us a little bit of indication of how heaven is. He don't give us a full view of it, but he, you know, he just give us a little tidbits of how heaven is. and you can just think about it and let it, you know, just let it just let it evolve in your mind how heaven is. You know, the Bible says that three gates on the north, south, east, and west. And then just think about the gates having a great big gigantic pearl. You know, oh, Lord, have mercy. And then the streets. You know, sometime, you remember when, back in the day, when people didn't have the gold rims, you know, them that didn't go out and buy the gold rims, well, then they would go and take the, go buy a can of spray paint and spray their wheels gold. Well, the Bible says that the streets in heaven is paved. He didn't say they were sprayed on. He didn't say they was brushed on. But God said that they was paved in gold. So the gold that you and I wear, and it's such a high dollar commodity here on earth, is asphalt. So it will be what we walk on up in heaven. This is what we wear here on earth. But in heaven, it'll be what we're walking on. Can you imagine walking on a gold street? Can you put that into its perspective? I mean, can you wrap that around your mind? How beautiful heaven is? Don't let the devil cheat you out your life. Tell that demon that you're going to make God your choice. You tell God that you are sorrowful for what you've done, and God will forgive you right then and there. God is no respectable person. God will put your sins and my sins and our sins in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them anymore. We know that the world will remember what you've done. Oh, you killed my son. Or you shot my husband. And even after the person done went, if he went to prison and done any time, he's still guilty of sin even after he stayed 30 years, 60 years of his life. He come out, he done served his time, but you still say, you know, he's guilty as sin. See, and we know that the world will hold that against us. Even after you dead and buried in your grave, they'll still be talking about that, be talking about you and I. But Jesus will take yours and mine sins, and he will put them, he will empty them out into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them anymore. God will start you over in just a clean slate, a clean slate. Everything that you've done has been erased. God said to remember it anymore. So God is not going to even remember it. Once God erases it, it's a done deal. So I just want to encourage you. Don't let the enemy cheat you out of your soul's salvation. Hallelujah. And I'm going to end it right here. We'll try to take back up on our next program. And tonight's sermon again is Your Destination Hangs in Balance. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to now turn you over to Hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again, buckle up with Jesus at the wheel because he is people friendly. Till we meet again, bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
I'm Thank you. I'm traveling. Situations may change.